So the readings for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Gospel, which is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets." And the Pharisees being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say to him, "David's." He saith to them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Thus are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These beautiful words of St. Paul in his epistle, they show us that the faith to which we belong, the religion which we practice, it's not a matter of indifference. We cannot say that it's all the same. It doesn't matter which religion you practice, which one you adhere to, as long as you believe in God and live uprightly. That's called indifferentism. And it's a sin against the faith. It's even a blasphemy against Almighty God, as we hopefully will see more clearly. And it's even a sin against charity. We cannot remain indifferent to which religion we practice. This is a disease of our modern day. It's infecting everything. It's very striking that this theory, this doctrine, I guess you could call it, of indifferentism, it's promoted by Freemasons. And they've been very effective in making it permeate through all of our society with all the political correctness. Don't tell him he's doing something wrong. Always treading on ice, treading lightly, being sure never to offend anyone. They're pushing this doctrine of indifferentism, religious liberty. And it's unfortunate and scary that this was promulgated, in a sense, through Vatican II and its declaration on religious liberty. That's a scary thing. A Freemasonic principle. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to. Just try and be good. That was upheld and promulgated in Vatican II. No, this is heretical. There is one faith. St. Paul tells us that in the epistle. There is one God. The one God revealed himself to us in Scripture. And we know that he is one God even through our own reason. There is only one God. And that one God sent one Savior into the world. And he is the only Savior. If we want to save our souls, where do we have to go? To our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. There is no other. As he himself said, he is the door to the sheepfold. If we want to get into that sheepfold, if we want to get into heaven, we have to go through the door. We have to go through the one Savior. There is one God who sent one Savior. And this one Savior, he preached one doctrine. And this one doctrine he entrusted to one church, the one church which he founded. He never referred to churches. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my churches." He didn't say that. He said, "my church." He told his disciples, hear the church. He doesn't say, well, if you don't want to hear what the church has to say, if it's too hard, then go hear another church. No, he said, hear the church, the one true church. In his parables, he speaks of one shepherd and one fold. He wants to bring all into this one fold. He doesn't want a bunch of folds. No, he wants one fold, one true church. He is the one master of one vineyard and one field. And these are symbols of the church. He established only one rock, St. Peter, and he prayed that his church could be one. The eve of his passion, that moment when he is praying for the most important things, he prays that the church may be one, that we all may be one as he is one with the Father. That is his prayer, that we may be one, not that we may do whatever we want and go wherever we want and listen to whatever we want so that we can do whatever we want. No, he wants us to adhere to the one church. And he gave this one doctrine to his apostles, who were the foundation of his church. And those apostles, they took what they received and they handed it on because he told them to. He said, he who receives you receives me. He who hears you hears me. Your words are my words. And I give you this doctrine, not so that you can change it, not so that you can preach your own faith, but so that you can preach my faith, because it is this one faith which saves souls. So he entrusted to them this great treasure so that they could then pass it on. And that was their mission. And that is why he sent them into the world to preach. Go, preach to every creature so that they can be saved through this one faith, this one true church. And the apostles understood that. And that is why it was their one principle to fight against heresy. St. Paul, time and time again, casting out these heretics, condemning schisms, because the church was to be one, not many. And they gave their blood. They died for the faith they were preaching. If it didn't matter what religion we belong to, if we can truly be indifferent, then why bother shedding your blood? How foolish. They'd be the most foolish of men to be martyred, to have their heads cut off, to be crucified upside down, to be flayed alive for a faith that doesn't matter. You can be whatever you want. You could be a Roman pagan, that's fine. No, it mattered. There is one true faith, and so they shed their blood. And the first martyrs, they continue that, shedding their blood for the true church. No, our religion, it cannot be indifferent. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is not indifferent. Yes, there's only one true church. Our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way that leads us to heaven. He is the truth, and he is the life. He gives us the life of his grace. It is only through him. He teaches this. There is one true church. He is not a liar. Outside the church, there is no salvation. This is the teaching of the fathers. They often compare it, St. Cyprian compares it to the ark in the Old Testament, the Ark of Noah. And he asks, well, if anyone was able to be saved outside of the ark, then yes, you can be saved outside the church. No, if you wanted to be saved in the time of Noah from the flood, where did you go? To the ark, to this boat. If we want to be saved from eternal damnation, where do we go? To the boat of St. Peter, to the bark of Peter, to this boat, which is the church. And what was the one door of the ark? God specifically commanded one door into the ark. That is the one baptism, which St. Paul mentions, the one entrance into the church. And how do we know the Catholic Church is the true church? Well, it's the four marks. It's one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. It is there that we can find the doctrine that saves. It is there that we can hear our Lord's doctrine, our Lord's preaching, without any perversions, without any alterations. So seeing this, we see that it's a great danger, this heresy of modernism, which has penetrated Vatican II, in the spirit of which religious liberty was proclaimed, this freedom of conscience. No, that's a heresy. And ecumenism is a heresy. Ecumenism is the practical application of religious liberty. Well, if it doesn't matter, if you're free to choose whatever religion you want, just follow your conscience, just be good, then why bother converting people? So this false ecumenism has come into the church. This false ecumenism which goes out and shakes hands with everyone but doesn't try to convert them. It seeks to bring, to make unity, perverting that prayer of our Lord that they may be one, perverting it, making them one by compromise, not by conversion. No, religious liberty and ecumenism are heresies, and they're rampant in the church. They're blasphemies, as I said before. They offend Almighty God. He took the pain, so to speak, of becoming man, of teaching us the truth, of giving us his grace and his sacraments. And are we going to say that it doesn't matter? You can do whatever you want. Thank you for all that, but it doesn't really matter. That's a blasphemy. And it's a sin against charity. These poor people, they're going to go to hell if we don't spread the faith. If we pat them on the back and tell them, no, you're fine, they will go to hell. There is no salvation outside the church. And that is why we have such a tremendous gift in having the traditional faith, in possessing tradition, given to us by the founder of the society, Archbishop Lefebvre, and so many other good priests and bishops who fought in those very difficult times of Vatican II, most especially the Archbishop, seeking to preserve this one true faith, taking as his motto, I have handed on what I have received. It is written on his tomb in Icone, I have handed on what I have received. These words of St. Paul, this one doctrine which saves, I received it, and now I give it, because it is the one doctrine that saves. He has given us access to this pearl of great price, the faith. So yes, we are truly blessed to have the traditional faith, to be able to come to the traditional Mass, and we should be very aware of that. And it should make certain dispositions arise in our soul. Father Goudre, a professor at the seminary, he said that he considered it a special vocation to be a traditional Catholic. Vocation not in the sense of a priestly or religious vocation, but vocation in the sense of a calling, a special calling of God, a special gift of God's grace. God has shown us great mercy and allowing us to be traditional Catholics. This calling which St. Paul talks about in the epistle today, this calling which we have to walk worthy of the calling in which you are called. So we should have gratitude, great gratitude to all of those who have given us that faith, gratitude for the gift of faith. If we are not grateful, we're going to lose it. That's the best way to lose a gift, is to take it for granted. No, we must be grateful and we must be humble. There is nothing any of us has done to merit the gift we have been given. Many of us were simply born into a traditional Catholic family. It was a gift, a free gift of God, and we cannot be proud in the sense that we think that we deserved it. No, we have to be humble. We have a great danger as traditional Catholics of becoming like the Pharisees. The Pharisees who thought they were justified, who thought they were perfectly fine because they could claim that they had Abraham for their father. And St. John the Baptist tells them, God could make of these stones children of Abraham. God could make traditional Catholics of these stones. No, there's no merit on our part of being traditional Catholic. It's God's free gift. And we have to act in all humility and not think ourselves superior to others in any way. No, if we have this gift, what should we want? We should want to give it to others. And that is the charity that the gospel of today speaks of. We should want to go out and convert others, to take this flame which we've received and to pass it on. I have come to cast fire on the earth, and what will I but that it be kindled? No, take this faith and give it to others. They will go to hell if you don't. How hard it is for us to live the Catholic faith, to try and save our souls. How difficult it is, this day in and day out struggle. Well, how much more for these poor souls who don't have the faith, these poor souls who don't have the doctrine that saves, these poor souls who don't have the sacraments to help them when they've fallen and to help strengthen them in this day-to-day battle. These poor souls. No, we cannot be proud. We have to go out and try and help them in all charity. Set the world on fire. So yes, let us adhere to this one true church, remaining always faithful to it, with these dispositions of gratitude, humility, and charity. And for that, let us turn to the Virgin most faithful, the beautiful, sorrowful Virgin who is faithful all through her life to the sacrifice which she accepted at the moment of the Annunciation, faithful all the way through the bitterness of Calvary, the only one who kept the faith on Holy Saturday, the only one. Let us turn to her, this Virgin most faithful, and ask her really to possess this faith and to fight against the heresies of indifferentism and religious liberty and all charity going out and converting souls. As the hymn says, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.